Hey, what's up, you guys? You're listening to Scooter Radio with me, Jack McRobert, and my long-term partner.
Kieran Barge. Do you
Right.
always have to say long-term partner?
Yeah, I
It
didn't
sounds really
know.
bad.
Yeah, I didn't know what to say after. I was just gonna say Kieran Barge, but yeah.
My good friend.
Yes, my good
That
friend.
works.
Let's start that again. Yeah, my good friend Kieran. Yeah, we're here today to talk about the Joker film. It's like a bit of a. It's been coming for a long time, hasn't it? The review.
We've been promising it for the last 4 months or
Yeah.
since whenever it came out, but for some reason never got around to doing it.
Yeah.
So we're talking about it now. We're a bit late
Yeah.
to the party, but I think it's worth us doing this because we had very strong opinions about it, and it meant a lot
Yeah.
to us, I think,
Yes.
for many different reasons.
Yeah.
So what I found interesting at the end of our previous review of Rise of Skywalker is that when we said we were going to do this, you said that your opinion has changed. So we're going to be talking about this, I guess, after the hype.
Yeah.
When the dust has settled. Why don't you say what you thought about it actually initially when you came out of it? What did you think coming out for the first time?
What did I think coming out for the first time?
Not out of the closet, out of the
I
theatre.
felt liberated. No, I think see, I feel boring saying this because I feel like this is what everyone sort of wanted to feel and did feel is that it was one of the movies of the year, of the decade.
Of the last few decades.
Yeah, it was obviously an incredible movie, and that's why I sort of want to, in this sort of, pick holes in it, if you like. It's not a bad movie by any means, and there aren't negatives as such. But if I am being picky, then yeah, there could be a few things, maybe in my opinion, that could, yeah.
Yeah, it's going
That's
to make
what
it
we're going to be talking
interesting.
about today.
That was my biggest fear doing this, is that
Yeah.
it's, I see it as something that's so perfect that the review or
Yeah.
discussion about it is actually going to be quite boring.
Yeah.
And what do we say about it that nobody else has already said?
And that's why we've decided to do it after the hype, and that's why I think it's a positive that we've decided to do so, isn't it? After the dust has settled, you know, because I like you said, I'm pretty sure the majority of the reviews online were the same after the movie.
Positive.
Yeah, all the same.
I've only seen one bad one, I think.
Have you? Oh, God.
But yeah, I mean, so your initial reaction coming out of it the first time, I remember being speechless, couldn't speak.
Yeah.
It really actually profoundly affected me for a few weeks and actually changed my whole relationship with the Joker character and with
Yes.
Batman as well,
Yeah.
which really disturbed me.
I remember you said you find yourself relating to him more.
After that,
Yeah.
then suddenly I was watching some episodes of the Batman animated series. And when I saw the Joker, I could only see Arthur Fleck, and what he went through in that film. And I
Yeah.
felt a weird closeness to him and an attachment to him that I'd never felt before and never wanted to feel, as a matter of
Yeah.
fact, because the guy's a monster. And then whenever I saw Batman, then I felt kind of like a strange detachment from him, which I found rather disturbing because he was the character I loved the most and felt the closest to.
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird. It kind of changed my relationship, my 25-year plus relationship with Batman and the Joker, which I don't know if anybody else felt that way, but that was something that kind of hit me pretty hard. And I remember coming out of it, and I couldn't speak. Everyone was like, "What did you think about it?" And
Yeah,
my
we were
head was spinning.
just blown away by it, weren't we? There was the reviews beforehand, before we went in, was saying there are like some bits that will really shock you, and I thought, well, you know, what do you mean shock me? How is this film gonna, how are certain parts of this film gonna shock me any more than any other films, you know, like in American, you know, Psycho and stuff like that.
I mean, the
But
violence was shocking in this, but
yeah.
I don't know if that's what they were talking about because I wasn't affected by the violence at all. There was one
No.
scene, spoilers by the way, there
Yes.
was one scene that moved, like really I was shocked by with the gore and stuff, but it was mostly psychologically
Yeah.
I was kind of shocked by it. So I don't know where to begin with this. But I guess it kind of starts with Joaquin Phoenix's performance. He carries the whole thing. There's not a frame of this film which doesn't feature him. So he is the driving force of this film and should be. What did you think? Because we did a retrospective about this film Before it came out, we did a cinematic retrospective of the Joker, and we gave our thoughts on what we felt his where his place was going to be in the long list of Jokers we've had previously. And we thought he was going to be the best. Now, do you felt that that happened? Long silence.
No, I know. I think overall. But I think what you've got to remember is that these are sort of the Heath Ledger's Joker, who's obviously on the tip of everyone's tongues as like the best. I think the difference between him and Joaquin Phoenix is they're at completely different stages in their villainous careers, if you like. So you can't really compare them, because I think this was the making of a Joker, wasn't it? So it's like, as far as the story goes leading up to him snapping, if you like, I think it was pretty much perfect. But did you, one thing I wanted to ask you actually, we'll go back onto what we're talking about. Before we saw the film, I remember you sort of saying, apparently you read something online again. So there was something saying, you know, do you feel sorry for him by the end, or do you kind of hate him? Like, what did you feel by the end? Did you empathize with him, or?
I was expecting to not empathize with him by the end.
Me too.
I believe the director Todd Phillips was like, there is a certain point in the film, it will happen at different places for different people, but most definitely by the end, you will have changed your opinion about this character and you'll not be with him anymore. You'll be kind of not condoning what he does, obviously, but you'd be very much firmly against him, going, no, this guy's too far gone now. That never happened. I felt it was going to happen. Maybe like when he killed his mum, then I was like, wow, like, or who we think was his mum. We don't know if he was adopted or not, but after that, I thought, right, this is it. But then I don't know, still at the end, you know, when he gets up on top of that car after he's just been injured, and he's standing in front of that crowd of people cheering him on, finally getting the recognition that he thought he deserved. And he's dancing in front of them, and then he wipes that bloody smile on his face.
Yeah.
I felt, I don't know if the word is good, but I felt like a sense of, I feel really bad because people are going to think I'm like a freak or something, but like,
no,
I feel like,
that's why
I felt happy for him.
Yeah. That he'd found happiness. Yeah. Like, this is how he found happiness. This is his place. Everyone has a certain place in their mind where they're happiest, and in a way that's what that this film's about, isn't it? It's kind of like, you know, even if it, I mean, you know, he's not going around murdering and raping innocent people as such in the film, I don't think, and in that case you would sort of, it would have a completely different message, like this guy is a psychopath, he is 100% villain. But you kind of understand, you don't condone it, I don't condone it, but I understand why he did it, I understand why he snapped. But I think
bittersweet is the word.
Yeah.
So while you recognise that it's a bad thing that he's done or has been doing, you kind of feel happy for Arthur. Well, we don't even know if Arthur exists by that point at the end, or if he's completely given himself over to the Joker persona. Because I feel like once he paints that smile on his face, that's it. That's the transformation complete.
Yeah.
But you feel kind of empowered, weirdly.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a good thing. That's what the good thing is about this film, actually. It's very challenging. I don't think a film has challenged me this much in a long, or ever has. Even now, just thinking about it, I'm kind of lost for words. It kind of really, it's really stunning.
Yeah. And there are some, it's like a poor, the whole movie is like a poor narration of his, isn't it? It's like, what's real and what isn't. There are bits by the end that we obviously know didn't happen, like the happy moments with that, the lady.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's very clear.
Zazie Beetz.
Yeah, her character, his so-called girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah, but like, you know, some people were saying, I read online and stuff, some people were saying, you know, was he, you know, did he die in the car crash? Was that it? And stuff.
I think in a sense he died.
Yeah.
When he was.
Oh yeah, Arthur Fleck died.
In that car crash, yeah. Because once he was brought out,
yeah,
he saw him like knocked out, and then he was like coughing up blood, and it was like he's been resuscitated.
Yeah.
A long parallel to Bruce Wayne or Batman being born.
Yeah.
Which was cool. I really love that. I did not think they were going to go that way. I was really worried that the Joker would be responsible for the deaths of, like, Thomas and Martha, like they were in the Tim Burton film.
Yeah.
But I think I loved it in this, where it was just someone who was inspired by him, goes and kills them as he's passed out.
Yeah.
And then as soon as that event happens, when Batman is born, the Joker comes to life.
Yeah, I didn't want him to be responsible for it as such.
No, but, I hate that idea. Yeah. I hated it in the Tim Burton film. I was like, that's not how it should be.
Yeah.
They're too closely intertwined that way. I like it if he represents that to Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Rather than...
I remember in our retrospective as well, I was saying, you know, I want this to be purely, like, about the Joker. And I think... Mm. And I think I'm satisfied with... I think they could have had, like, less Batman in a way. I think the end bit was brilliant when, like, the parents got killed. But, yeah, I never wanted the spotlight to go away from Arthur Fleck. I wanted this to be, like, a character study of how he became the Clown Prince of Crime. But, you know the bit where he's outside the gate?
Oh, yeah.
Like, was that necessary, do you think?
I think it was, that was probably the only fan service moment in that film, I think. That moment, I'll never forget it, when he puts his fingers into Bruce Wayne's mouth and stretches it into a smile, that was chilling.
Yeah.
That to me was like, oh, it said so much with so little.
Mm.
And I loved it. I thought it was just the right amount. There was just one bit that was kind of disturbing me, which was when we thought that Thomas Wayne was going to be... Arthur Fleck's dad, and I was like, I hope they don't get on that. I mean, it could still be him, depending on how you look at the film. That's what's so great about it. It's really ambiguous, but...
We don't know, do we? But yeah,
when they were going down that route, I was like, no, because if this happens, I'll hate it. But they didn't do it. That's what's great about the whole film, actually. It's not a definitive account of the Joker's origin.
Hmm.
It, again, is... played as it's done in the comics, where it's like multiple choice.
Yeah, we're still not... Yeah.
You're still not 100% sure.
And I think that's the beauty of the Joker. I think it should stay that way as well. I'd like to see more sort of maybe Joker movies in the future, but I'd like them to keep it that way as well.
We're saying if they did a sequel, the only way I'd be happy is if they did one with Batman and showed the psychological parallels between the two.
Yeah.
Because that's not really been explored in depth as it should be in film. They hinted at it in The Dark Knight, but didn't properly go for it. But I feel if you're going to do a Joker sequel, the only way you can do it is with Batman. Because aside from the origin story, after that, if you don't include Batman, the Joker kind of becomes irrelevant. Because his whole purpose of being is Batman.
Yeah.
They can't live without each other. Which I think was highlighted in this.
Yeah, you can only take it so far with just the Joker on his own, can't you? It's like, the becoming... Like, his journey was incredible. But if they did another one, I mean, Joaquin Phoenix has said in interviews that he loves working with Todd Phillips and he would actually happily do another one. But I don't think they know where to take the character exactly, because that could kind of...
There's no way you can take it.
If they did add Batman in another one, because then is that a Joker movie? What would you call that? You couldn't really call it Joker 2 if Batman's in it, I don't believe. And the age difference as well, like...
The age difference, I mean, Bruce Wayne needs probably another 10 years.
Yeah.
And then he can become Batman. Whereas I think Arthur Fleck in this is actually supposed to be in his 30s. He just looks older because he's kind of malnourished and poor and stuff. But I feel like it could be done. And that's the only other sequel I'd want to see, is if Batman is there. Because otherwise the Joker becomes irrelevant.
Hmm.
The only reason the Joker is interesting is because he feeds off Batman's interestingness, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
They complete each other. They're two sides of the same coin.
That's what's great about The Dark Knight. Heath Ledger's Joker, isn't it? Mm. He's like, you complete me. And like, that was my favourite part of him, actually. The fact that he's like, I love that bit. We don't want to talk about The Dark Knight too much, but I love that bit where they're in that room and, you know, Batman's like, wants to kill him. He's like, I want to kill you, but he won't.
Mm.
And the Joker's like, you know, you can't do anything to me. You can't get anything out, any information out of me you want, because you'll have to kill me, and you're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they just drive each other insane. And it goes back to what you were saying, they can't live without each other, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
There's so like a sick love that they have.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to get explored. And the only way that will get explored is in a movie like Joker, where you're allowed to focus on the characters.
Yeah.
Chris Nolan couldn't do it because he had to have all those action sequences in there to make it like a blockbuster and pull people in.
Yeah.
There's certain things he had to do, so he couldn't focus on Batman's relationship with the Joker fully. They say things all the time like, yeah, we're the same, you complete me, but it was never fully... I felt the way Batman was characterized didn't match up to that kind of dynamic. They kept telling us Batman was crazy, but we didn't see it.
No.
So we need a film where we get to see that develop. And I think a sequel to something, an independent style film like this,
yeah,
I think you could accomplish it. I hope they do it. They probably won't. But anyway, we're talking about the sequel more than we are.
Yeah. What did you think of, obviously, Joaquin Phoenix's performance was like pretty much flawless, I think, on his part.
100%.
But him as a Joker, what after all the decisions made, how he portrayed the character, what do you make of him? Do you think, I mean, I don't want to say what did you think of him as a Joker, because I know you're only going to have good things to say.
Mm.
So I'm going to say to you, what do you think could have been improved? What negatives are there with Joaquin Phoenix's Joker compared to Hamill, Ledger, etc.? What would you have liked to have seen?
The only negative is the fact that we didn't see him in as a fully formed Joker until the very end.
Yeah.
And by then, the film ended. But that's not his fault.
No.
Obviously. That's my only kind of negative I have. When we saw him, on the Murray Franklin show, that was perfect. You know what I did like? I liked the fact that he didn't change his voice.
You're talking about positives.
I'm
trying to get negatives out of you.
I can't
devil's advocate.
Yeah, I really can't think, in terms of his performance, I can't think of anything bad. I really can't, and that's an issue. That's why I thought this could be quite a boring discussion, because
I genuinely
can't think of anything bad to say. The movie, this is the first film in a long time where I consider it without flaws. This is, to me, like Beauty and the Beast, or The Godfather.
Just a perfect movie.
It's perfect. I honestly cannot say anything. I was a bit worried about the whole angle about it, about, you know, kill the rich and all that 1% stuff. But they didn't harp on that too much.
No.
It served his character. They didn't go on about it too much. There wasn't much politics or anything.
No.
That was something I was worried about. But even that, done fine. It did better than I expected because it wasn't a definitive account. It was very ambiguous the whole way through. Every step of the way was ambiguous. The performance was frightening. Something which I've always wanted to see. I genuinely felt fear of him, which is something I've not felt before. Heath Ledger did it a little bit.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like my heart, like in that Murray Franklin scene, my heart was racing.
Yeah.
I was terrified, which is weird because he played a sympathetic version of the Joker, but he was still scary. Yeah. And that laugh, like that off-kilter laugh that he did, amazing. Mm. I love the fact it was a condition as well.
Really?
I was like, that's interesting, because that's something they could have used in any other interpretation. I don't think it has been used so far, where he has a laughing condition. It's a real-life condition as well, as everyone, I'm sure everyone knows.
Yeah.
And if you watch real videos of people who suffer from that condition, that's another thing I've got to take my hat off to him. He, like, emulated that amazingly well.
Mm.
Like, he looked like he was in physical pain.
Yeah.
I know you asked for negatives, but again, I'm giving you... Yeah. Any positives? I can't.
There's interviews where people said to him, you know, what was the main thing you did to get into this character? And he studied like a couple of, I suppose, serial killers, which we know that he based his look off of.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing he actually did was he observed and studied like the mannerisms and personalities of the clinically insane. Like he was saying, like, he knows more about that now. Like, he knows that, you know, where he knows that if you suffered trauma in your childhood, you know, you're gonna, that's why you sort of retreat when you get attacked, and you don't, and you sort of stand standoffish.
Mm.
So I found that really interesting, that he, but I didn't want it to be too much about sort of like sympathetic towards mental health issues, because I feel that is too modern and it kind of contradicts the feel of it. Like, mm-hmm. I love the fact that I think this movie just proves that, you know, briefly going back to The Dark Knight, a lot was spent on that. That was a massive, you know, singing, dancing, exploding blockbuster. Mm-hmm. And for me, this movie was better, which a lot of people would agree with. And, you know, this didn't come across as like a high budget movie. You know, it felt very much like
$50 million was the budget.
Yeah.
So that's really tiny compared to what, I don't know what The Dark Knight's budget was. I know The Dark Knight Rises was like $250 million.
Yeah.
Like, what?
And it's like, you know, it didn't need that to prove to be a great movie. I think it was just, that was just a testament to like what a good movie is. You know, like, it was very similar to was it The King of Comedy and
Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver, obviously, that we know, the De Niro movies. But,
and then A Dog Day Afternoon.
Yeah.
That's, I think that's what I liked most about this, actually, was that kind of movie, which we've not seen in a long, long time.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever watched any French movies.
Not all the way through, no.
But they're still doing stuff like that. They do it like proper, like how really? Hollywood did it in the 70s. For some reason now, Hollywood has kind of shied away from that, and we're in this Transformers, Avengers phase, which I hope dies out soon. I think it will now, because Marvel have done their whole, what was it, 10-year build-up to Endgame, and now they've got to kind of start from scratch again.
Phase 4.
Yeah, whatever it's called. I hope this will now usher in more of these kind of movies, and not just for, like, comic book characters, but just general normal movies anyway. I hope they do more like this, where we really take deep dives into characters.
Yeah.
Not that they weren't being made since the 70s, but they've never got this kind of recognition. Because those movies in the 70s, if they were to come out now, they'd fall under the radar. You wouldn't know about them. Whereas back then, those were the event movies.
That's sad, isn't it? They're like, you know, your Infinity Wars and, you know, big cast movies, like Endgame and stuff like that. These are the films that people remember up until this Joker movie, which, yeah, I hope sort of like...
We hope, but
floodgates.
We were just talking about this actually previously, off air, like that we feel like not many people are talking about it anymore, Joker. Like, do you remember after The Dark Knight came out, that hype went on for so long, like years, and I think it's still going on, but this one now, not many people are talking about it. And I remember, do you remember, like, everyone was dressing up as Heath Ledger's Joker? There was all these memes online and people quoting him, putting on his makeup. I've not seen any of that for this,
no,
which I'm very grateful for, because frankly, when that happened with The Dark Knight, it kind of pissed me off and turned me against it pretty much, because I was just fed up with seeing it everywhere.
Yeah.
This hasn't actually...
But that shows what kind of movie that was compared to Begins and Dark Knight Rises, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just, for me, just shows the difference between the movies and,
Because a lot of people didn't even know there was a Batman Begins when The Dark Knight came out. They thought that was the first one.
That's sad.
That's really very sad. Very sad. It was a bandwagoner movie. I'm sorry to say, it was a great film,
but it was, in my opinion, the worst one
of the three.
Because it
wasn't about Bruce Wayne as much as the other two. But anyway, we're getting sidetracked again. But I feel like Batman Begins, actually, just to lead back into this was actually similar to that. Do you feel like the first half of Begins was pretty much in the same vein as the Joker movie? It was in-depth character study.
That's why coming off Batman Begins now, that's why Batman Begins is my favourite one, because I love a character study and a build-up of why someone becomes, you know, that superhero.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, we won't delve into other examples, even though I was thinking of what other examples are there of movies that we like that. But that's why I love the Joker, and why I wanted it just to be about the Joker and, like, not a lot of Batman, you know. Let's home in on the psyche of, you know, of him as a person, Arthur Fleck, you know. Mm-hmm. Batman can come later on. But, yeah, I don't think, if I was to pick a hole in the Joker personally...
Go for it.
Like, I didn't fear him as much as I wanted to. Like, he was clearly insane, and I mean, obviously, when he was wearing that all white makeup, that was terrifying. And that was a look Joaquin actually came up with. He was sending Todd Phillips pictures of the makeup, and he sent him one of just the white and said, I think this is actually terrifying, and they decided to go with it. And that bit where I can't remember the last time I had a feeling in a movie of like a character that's so unpredictable that I didn't know what they were going to do. You always have kind of a rough idea what they're going to do. But after he killed, first of all, it was a shock when he killed that bloke in a very gory manner.
With the scissors and
the head against the wall.
Yeah.
But then with the little dwarf fella,
Gary,
I had no idea if he was going to kill. I had no idea. I didn't know if he was going to let him go. And like, it was incredible acting. Like in the way that when he's holding the door open and Gary just runs through, like Gary, we're as unsure
as
his
is.
Fate as he is.
Yeah.
And it's, that was incredible, but I wish that, like, I feared him more. Like, I don't want to say like Heath Ledger, because I think Heath Ledger was more a terrorist than, do you know what I mean? I want them to go back to, like, the comic book style more, and, like,
Mark Hamill.
Yeah, I don't want it to be like, you know, Gotham looks like New York City. I don't want it to just look like, you know, clearly an ordinary place. I like all them, and that's what I liked about the what you think are the shit the crap Batman films, the older ones. You know, the older ones where it's kind of like corny and Gotham is kind of like looks like a bit casino
like. Like Batman Forever and
like that's the Gotham I like, and I know it can't really be like that in the daytime as much, but like I would have perhaps change that and sort of gone like, you know, you don't need to make it so realistic.
You know what? You should rewatch the Tim Burton movies because I think they're right up your street.
Yeah.
Because they're the theatrical.
And the thing, yeah.
And Jack Nicholson, like, they're theatrical and larger than life, but they're dark still.
Yeah.
I think that was the perfect tone, whereas the ones after that went too, like, with the casinos and the green, purple, pink lights everywhere.
But I think Joaquin was unpredictable, but I never really feared him or really saw him as like a man kind of thing, you know, like other Jokers, like Mark Hamill's Joker, like he looks like kind of like a big, like intimidating stature. Like even though it's a cartoon, what's perfect about that is like he's not trained in the art of anything, any combat.
No.
You know, he's not got loads of weapons or anything, but you fear him, not because he's like mentally unstable or unpredictable like Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, but he's just got that stature about him. And I kind of, Joaquin Phoenix, I don't know, I kind of felt like he was a bit like too pathetic, even when he was on the Murray Franklin show.
Mm-hmm.
He was a bit kind of still like, you know, woe is me, you'd walk, you know, right. But that was a great point when he's like, you know, you'd walk right over me. That's why he's become who he is, right?
Yeah.
But
brilliant line, by the way. I love that.
Yeah, but that's how I feel. It wasn't perfect, the perfect Joker. But yeah, it was a fantastic film and he was incredible.
I mean, I would agree with you, except that there's that one scene you just brought up where he had the white makeup, just the white makeup, and he killed that Randall dude, and that bit with Gary the midget afterwards, that was the perfect Joker scene, because he was like, you can go.
It's not a politically correct word anymore.
Sorry.
It's dwarf.
Dwarf.
That midget's funny, so go with that. Carry on.
When he's like, it's all right, you can go, you can leave.
Yeah.
He says that to Gary, and Gary's going past. He just jump scares him.
Yeah.
Laughs about it. And then the guy can't open the door because the lock on, and he's too short to reach it.
Yes.
And then Joaquin gets up, unlocks the door, opens it a little, but then closes it again.
Yeah.
And then just kisses him on the head.
Yeah.
And then lets him go.
That's incredible acting. Like, that's toying with him, but like,
that is the Joker.
Yeah.
That scene, so if it didn't have that scene, I'd probably agree with you on that sense that, you know, he was still pathetic and not scary, just, but
wanted to feel like more intimidated by him, I guess, personally. And I mean, we're all different and intimidated by different things, but like, you want to fear the Joker, you want a villain, don't you?
I think the fear came from the fact, not what he was doing in the film, but knowing what ultimately he would become. There is a really nice bit, you know, when he's dancing down the stairs to Gary Glitter.
Yeah.
it's all like fun and frenetic, and you know, he's like That's jumping around, kicking.
Sequence, isn't it? Yeah.
Then there's one bit where it just suddenly slows down.
And the music changes.
The music changes. You hear bells tolling, and you suddenly realise that this is a man who's going to be responsible for so many deaths that are about to happen, and he's going to ruin people's lives.
Yeah.
And the way that's done is like that's where the fear comes from. We're like, he was pathetic, but we know what he's going to become now.
Yeah. And when he got into that lift, yeah, he did look terrifying.
He changed, yeah.
I wanted that balance. Like, there's a Batman cartoon film that I don't know what it's called, and I've not seen all through it. I've just seen the same clip over and over, where Joker basically wins in that Batman effectively kills him by him turning his neck.
Oh, The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah. Like, I want a balance between that. Like, that Joker isn't the Joker for me, because he's a huge man. He's like a massive...
burly,
you know.
Yeah, I hate that version.
I don't want the Joker to look like a big wrestler like Bane. I want like the balance. I don't want him to be like scrawny and tall either, personally. But
I think the Joaquin that nailed it for me, because they haven't really. I don't want to body shame, but like all the Jokers that have come since, in terms of their weight and the way they look, they haven't been quite right.
But that's your personal opinion. You're entitled to that.
Yeah, I mean, funny thing is, you said about Mark Hamill, he was still kind of... his one was still quite thin. But I get what you mean. I guess he wasn't scrawny.
No. He was more scrawny, actually, when he returned in... what's the newer Batman? Terry McGinnis. In that
Batman
one.
Beyond.
Yeah, when he returned in that one, he was scrawnier, wasn't he? But, like, you know... like, Jack Nicholson was incredible. But for me, he was too plump. To be Joker. And that's not fat shaming him. That's saying, to be my Joker,
you just prefer them.
He has. They just. Yeah. I just prefer them thinner.
Yeah.
Like more like you than me.
Oh.
Stop it. More thinner than and perfect than a little dumpy thing like me.
That's not true. I mean, I don't know what I see. I feel like I had so much to say about this. The thing is, I'm thinking of all the things I want to say, but people have already said them. That's the problem with doing this so late on. But I guess...
you're still hyped after the hype.
I'm still hyped after the hype. I mean, yeah. It's not... I don't think about it all the time anymore, as I did. Like, after I saw it for weeks, it was, like...
yeah.
Plaguing me almost. Just because it had changed the way I look at all those characters. What I want to ask you, though, is, like, you said that your opinion had changed. We never got around to that. So why now is it different from when you initially came out? What changed?
Because I feel like the hype basically got us hyped.
Very eloquently put.
Yeah, you know, the trailer was just incredible. The first trailer was a masterpiece. And I mean, when the screen test came out, I feel like people weren't hyped then, and they didn't know what it was going to be, because that was like a year before, the October before that pretty much came out, wasn't it?
Despite what everyone says now, everybody was slating it.
Yeah.
I was one of the only few people who were there going, no, this is going to be something. Like, from then I could tell this is an Oscar-worthy film.
Yeah.
Just the way that screen test was done.
Yeah.
And I knew Joaquin Phoenix was going to be great, because he always is.
Yeah.
And the films he picks are always great. He doesn't... he's very script choosy. He doesn't pick one unless he knows it's going to be good.
Yeah.
So I had complete faith from the start. Unlike Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
But, boy, that looks embarrassing now, doesn't it?
Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey, even that... I'm not even going to bother with Birds of Prey, but Suicide Squad now looks particularly shameful, even if it didn't already. Because now he... Jared is sandwiched in between Ledger and Phoenix.
He's getting away from that, though, in the...
Morbius.
I was going to say Morpheus, but...
Which has Michael Keaton in it.
Oh, yeah, it has, because he's Vulture.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vulture's in it. But did you see the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man poster in the trailer?
No.
No.
Oh, I need to...
When he's go, yeah, we should talk about maybe this later on.
Oh yeah, we should. We'll speak about this afterwards. Yeah.
I think he was incredible. I remember my views actually are completely they've not come full circle at all, but at first I'd say I was maybe more negative, because I remember saying to you when I first saw the screen test, the Arthur Fleck, first of all, I was apprehensive really about that. Like, I pretty much feel the same way about Robert Pattinson as I did when I first saw that Arthur Fleck. I thought I don't know what to think. Did I use the right word, apprehensive? Probably not.
No, you did, yeah.
But I basically didn't know what to think. I didn't feel positive, nor did I feel like...
Were you familiar with Joaquin Phoenix before you saw that screen test?
I was familiar with him, but...
Gladiator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like a good Joker. Again, I don't want to shame his face, but the nose for me was like real good.
Yeah.
But I remember when we first saw on the screen test his makeup, and I said to you, like, is that going to stay like that?
You didn't like it, did you?
I had a problem with the makeup initially.
Yeah.
For some reason, I feel so stupid like saying this, and like I apologize as well for like my ignorance, but I sort of was half expecting it to end up looking like Heath Ledger's, and I thought, why would they do that? Why, yeah. You know, why go back to what's already been done? So now I understand it is more clown-like, and that's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see why he is regarded as a clown. Let's see him as a clown, as opposed to, you know, just a terrorist of like
war paint. Yeah. They even say that in The Dark Knight, it's war paint. Like,
so I was a bit like not sure with the screen test. Then when you sent me the trailer, I was blown away by it. It was like beautiful music, perfection, perfect piece of art.
Yeah.
Kept watching it every day. And
several times a day.
Yeah. Maybe like hyped myself up too much, and I should have just let it, you know, just absorbed it. Inhaled it normally, but
I mean, I'm surprised that you say that, because I had a twinge of fear about it the whole way along, because I thought there's no way this is going to live up to what I'm thinking in my head.
Yeah,
and it bloody surpassed it.
Me too. I wasn't, when I walked out at the end, when I came out, I didn't feel disappointed. I was like, it was everything I thought it was going to be and more.
Yeah,
but then when the dust settled, I've not so much thought, actually, it's not a great film. All I've thought is just taking it down a couple of notches and thought, I think everyone hyped it up too much. And when we dissect it, it's right up there. It's incredible.
I can't say anything bad.
But it's not, in my eyes, perfect. Like, we'd have to do another video if anyone was interested, which they're probably not, because I'm not a director, obviously. I'm not a writer. I'm not a producer. But there are things that I would change if I had the chance to... obviously do so and make it my perfect movie.
Oh, of course.
But,
I mean,
you know, other than that, yeah, I'm not slaying it. I'm just saying, like, I look at it differently from when I came out.
Yeah.
And hyped it up.
I mean,
flawless.
It's weird. I kind of get what you mean. I still can't say anything bad about it, but I am surprised that it's still not as strongly with me as it was after it just come out.
Yeah.
So the hype has died down, but I still recognise it as a quality piece of art.
It's sort of gone under the radar, kind of, hasn't it? A little bit.
Weirdly.
I kind of don't feel like... I worry, you know, about... This is about me, going on to, like, me personally. I worry if I'm, like, losing my enthusiasm with films, because there are films that I'm very surprised that I've not felt like I need to watch this, like, constantly. Where I think I should. I've not seen it properly all the way through since I watched it in the cinema. I've watched it online. I've streamed it a couple of times, but not watched it properly all the way through. And I kind of feel like...
Do you know what it is?
What?
I've just realised as you were talking, it's because we're both really obsessive, right? And when we like something, we watch the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And it hasn't happened with this. Maybe when it comes out on home video.
Yeah.
Maybe then. We'll
on VHS, get yeah.
on VHS. I knew you were going to say that. It is still home video. Blu-ray, DVD.
I love it on VHS.
We'll wait and see. Like, maybe then we'll get into it and keep watching it again. But, like, I think it's... Because normally when we watch something and we really enjoy it, we get stuck in, like, a phase.
Yeah, we get obsessed. And it becomes the theme of...
Everything
we're
doing. Yeah, like, right now I'm very much in a Star Wars phase.
Yeah.
And then that will stop. Although I think I'm always in a Star Wars phase because Star Wars is life, but we go through different intensities for things. Like Harry Potter will go through for like a few months, will get really obsessed with that and then leave it and then go on to something else. So maybe it's just that, I guess. I don't know.
I think overall I felt sorry for Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. I felt really sad for him when he was reading through that folder and saying, you know, he was tied to a radiator and stuff like that, and he didn't remember it.
Yeah.
And that sort of, you know, that makes me understand personally sort of why he did what he did. And with that film, you either connect with the character and get it, or you don't. I think you see it in two different ways. I think you can kind of be like, oh, that's a quality movie, and just see it like...
On that level.
The Dark Knight, just like, oh, it's a quality movie, that's a good movie. I can't explain it, but oh, that's just a good movie. You put it on that shelf. And other people, it sort of, they absorb it more, and it becomes a part of them. Like, I felt for so long, I wanted to, you know, make my phone wallpaper something to do with the Joker, because I felt like I could, like, relate to it so much. And, you know, I went to work and I was like, you know, this is driving me mad.
I thought you were going to say went to work in clown makeup and started shooting people up.
I wanted to wear, not shoot people, but wear makeup and stuff. And but yeah, it really awakened something in me and you.
100%. I mean, I think it did something for me in a different way. To you, maybe it was more personal. For me, it was as a Batman fan, it kind of, which is also very personal to me, but it really just changed the way I thought about everything since I was younger. So it was a very important movie for me in that way.
Yeah.
So growing up with these characters, the Joker's been with me for 25 plus years, and now suddenly I'm seeing him in a different light, and then seeing my idol, Batman, in a completely different light, and not a very good one either.
Yeah, you're not meant to feel sorry. You're not meant to sympathise with a villain.
No, but they somehow did it, and I thought, this is the one villain you can't make us sympathize with, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
I was wrong. And that's what's truly disturbing. Yeah. That's what makes this a disturbing masterpiece,
yeah,
I think. So for that, I got to give it, like, 5 out of 5 stars. Like, amazing, and definitely one of the best films that have come out in the last couple of decades. I'm saying decades, not even decade or year. I was so happy with it, and I feel finally proud as a DC fan, having gone through so many embarrassments since The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah,
I feel like vindicated again, and feel like, you know,
DC is back on the rise.
They're back on the rise, and this is what they should do
until the next Justice League film.
Which I don't think that's happening.
No,
I think that's all that stuff is dead now. But yeah, gosh, I feel like this might have been a really boring discussion.
We've had a nice chat.
Yeah, we had a nice chat about it. I guess it's a discussion more than a review.
Yeah.
But
we've raised some interesting points that I don't believe others did.
I hope so.
The main reviewers on YouTube have just sort of explained, you know, it's a perfect movie, it's great, it's a great film. But but I'm saying that you can't really sort of... I think where we differ, and why we're sort of a different kind of YouTube channel that reviews things, is because we can't sort of dissect, give something an honest review without comparing it to other things, can we? So
yeah, which maybe some people would say we shouldn't do, we shouldn't be comparing it to other things, but I think you have to. Like, people say, oh, you can't compare, because I've said, this is something we are yet to talk about, but I've said Joaquin Phoenix is the best live action Joker, and a lot of people are saying you can't compare it to Heath Ledger, and I'm like, why? I get the fact that they're portraying the Joker at two different stages.
Yes.
But I can still have my opinion on that. And what he did in that movie was enough for me to say that he can be validified as, if that's a word, the best Joker.
It sounds like a word.
Validified, yeah. I don't know. But I mean, that's something that we should probably end on now. Is that where do you rank him now above, amongst Ledger, Nicholson, I'm not even bothered with Leto, but, and Mark Hamill, obviously. What's your Joker ranking?
No, I think he's the best live action Joker, but my favourite all round is Mark Hamill.
Mine too.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy came close, though.
Yeah.
This guy came very close, which I never thought I'd ever say.
But I don't. But then again, I feel like we haven't had a chance to see what Joaquin would be like, sort of where Hamill is, because
he would crush it though, right? Based on the last couple of scenes from that film.
How many years into the Joker? How many years in is Hamill of being the Joker in like the animated series? And then this is obviously before he becomes the Joker, so it's hard to compare. But yeah, I will say live action Joaquin Phoenix.
I would definitely say this one is more interesting because overall, the Mark Hamill Joker, his origins was based on the Jack Nicholson version. So he was always a psycho. He was a gangster before he became the Joker.
Oh, yeah. There are some scenes in the animated series, actually, where you see it's Jack Napier, isn't it?
Jack Napier, yeah.
In a big brown coat.
I don't know if it's a brown coat. I think you're thinking of Bruce Wayne. He's
for
always in a brown
reason,
coat.
I'm thinking of I mean, he had a hat on, though, didn't he?
He had like one of those fedora hats on. And,
yeah.
So it's very much, and they refer to him as Jack Napier. So he has the same origin as in the Tim Burton movie. So going based on that, I think.
Why did they make Jack Nicholson a Joker? He looks more like the Penguin. Body-wise.
Wow.
Why did they do that? I don't understand.
Because when he was... Have you never seen The Shining?
Yes.
Watch that,
and
then you'll see why they made
it. I haven't seen it for years, so I don't really remember it.
Okay. Watch The Shining, and then you'll see why they made Jack Nicholson the Joker.
Okay.
That'll just put your question to bed.
DiCaprio. Would you like to see DiCaprio as the Joker?
Nope.
He was going to become the Joker, wasn't he? And that Joaquin...
It was rumoured. I'm so glad Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker is something that I wouldn't even think about because I never thought he'd do it.
No.
But I thought it was one of those amazing things that would never happen, and it's happened. And
I'm
so happy.
I'm disappointed that Joaquin Phoenix we didn't hear a story about him getting too sort of into the character and drove himself crazy. Because another interview, someone said to him, like, you know, did you get yourself lost in the character? What was it like preparing? And he said, you know, it would be so cool for me to say, like, yes, I did. But no, not at all. It was just another job sort of thing. He is such a professional actor, isn't he? But
yeah. Now, compare that to Jared Leto, what he was doing, the nonsense that he was coming out with, sending, like, used condoms and dead rats to people.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Mm.
Compare the two. I mean, you look. I don't know if I'll ever be able to... Not that I could watch Suicide Squad before, but...
It's weird that Joker is in the same... world universe as
Batfleck. He'd get pwned.
Yeah, because as time goes on now, I think he was a good Bruce Wayne. He was like a messed up, tarnished Batman, wasn't he? And that he killed people, but like
I liked his Batman.
Did you? I thought he was a better Bruce Wayne than a Batman. I don't like the small ears.
No, and not really in terms of the costume, but in terms of the fighting. Oh, you being called.
Yes, I am, yes.
Okay. We should probably wrap this up anyway, because now we've gone on to Batman v Superman, but any ideas? So still rate it a 5-star movie, but you don't have the same feelings as you did.
No, I've calmed down a bit, and I think everyone else should, but yeah, it's still a 5-star movie for me.
And I'm glad you've calmed down, and I think everybody else has calmed down, because...
I'm glad we've calmed down as well, because
then it gets to the point where it's... Yeah, I mean, then it gets to the point where it's annoying and you don't want it to become what The Dark Knight did, which was like a bandwagon fest. Because then you just get sick of it.
Yes.
So I think it stands where it stands in its place in cinema history.
Yeah.
I'm really happy it exists.
Yeah. Look forward to it coming out.
Maybe we'll get obsessed about it.
Yes.
We must
watch it together.
So that's that done. We finally did that, thank God. What are we doing next?
The Phantom Menace.